Book of Leviticus, chapter 27, starting from verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him. According to his ability that vowed, shall the priest value him.
When you dedicate your life to God, and then you change your mind, for example, just like Hannah gave her child to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord, and just think later on her husband says, no, we cannot do that. Then God says, okay, if you want to redeem the person, then you have to pay something. We read it from verses 1 to 8. It says, if it's 1 month old to 5, then if it is a male, pay $5. Means 5 shekels, but we're just saying $5. And 5 years old to 20 years old, if it is male, $10, and female, $5. If it is 20 years old to 60 years old, if it is male, $50, and female, $30. If somebody is 60 years old or older, then that person has to pay $15, male, and female, $10. And then it says, verse 8, if they are poor and they cannot pay this, the priest evaluate their value, and they say, you pay this. And somebody says, you know what, I don't have that much money. Then priest has to evaluate according to their poverty, and then they have to give something to the Lord. But this is the thing, that you want to serve the Lord, you want to dedicate your life, and you later on you change it. But if you read the Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verses 21 to 23, here is saying, if you make a vow, if you make a promise, what you should be doing.
When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which has gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth.
Now, hear the word of God is saying, if you promise God and made a vow to God, Lord, I'm going to give certain amount to the Lord, or give my life to the Lord, then you keep it. But the word of God says it is not compulsory that you have to give, just like a giving your offering. It is free will offering. You're doing from your heart. But you cannot make a promise to God and then deny the promise. That's what the word of God is saying. If you deny the promise, then you have to go to the priest and say, listen, I gave my child to the Lord, so can I get my child back? So I'll give you some money. And then the priest says, okay, give this much amount, and then you redeemed your child. This is the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the Word of God says, each and every soul is precious in the sight of God. He says, whole world, if you gain, if you lose your soul, what is the profit? That means our soul's value is more than the whole world. We cannot value your life. Here says, a priest will come and priest says, okay, this much money you give and you will be all right. But the word of God says, you cannot value your life. Our life is more precious in the sight of God. But this is Old Testament. Thank God we are not in the Old Testament. That's Leviticus 27:9.
And if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it nor change it, a good for a bad or a bad for a good, and if he shall at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy.
If you offer an animal, maybe cow, maybe sheep, maybe goat, Lord, this is I'm giving to you. People promise. So here he's saying, if you give some animal, he didn't say anything, he said beast. If you're giving to the Lord, and then you change your mind, you say, well, this is a too healthy animal. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give a little bit weaker one, or a little bit less expensive. Then the word of God says, you promised God, and now you're changing something, now you have to give both. Otherwise, don't change your mind. Okay, verse 11.
And if it be any unclean beast of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest, and the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad. If thou valuest it, who art the priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation.
If you bring the unclean animal, like a pig, and you come and say, this is a pig, I want to give it to the Lord. The priest says, no, we cannot take a pig. Then you have to give the equal amount of value another animal. But the person says, I cannot give any other animal, but I'm going to redeem this animal. Then verse 13 says, then you have to pay 20%. To redeem that animal. Let me give an example. Just think that your pig is only $100 worth. And so, yeah, but the man says, my pig is $200 worth. Okay, if that's the way you think, then you give $120, mean 20%, and then I can give you this animal back to you. And then he can go and sell it somewhere or do whatever he wants. So he had to pay 20% penalty. Okay, verse 14.
And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand.
Say, Lord, I have a couple of houses. One house is for God. And then when you give it to the Lord and then say, well, the house's price went up. I want to redeem this house.
And if he that's sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his.
Now he says, okay, you change your mind, and you gave it to the Lord, and now you said, I gave you the value, but you said, no, I want to redeem it. He said, okay, give me 20% more, and then redeem it. And that's the way law was. Verse 16. Now this is about the field or your farm. Verse 16.
And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. An homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver.
Now, here is saying, how can you value your field or farm? The field or farm is valued according to how much you sow the seed. More the seed you sow, more the crop comes. So according to that, the priest will say, okay, this is the price. And then he set the price. Verse 17.
But if he sanctifies field after the Jubilee, Then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of the Jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation. And if he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him.
You have a field, and then you dedicate that. The priest says, okay, this is the value of your field according to the how much you sow. And then the person said, but I want to redeem it. I changed my mind. They said, this year is a good year, and I don't want to give it to the Lord. I want to get it back. Then he said, pay 20%, and your field back to you. Verse 20.
And if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed anymore.
Then he says, if you, meantime, you promise and said, I changed my mind. I don't want to take 20%. I'm going to sell it. So he said, if you sell it to somebody, that means it's not belong to you anymore. And read the verse 21.
But the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priest's.
Now he says, you don't want it. It's belong. You sold it to somebody. The time of Jubilee, it's returned to the owner. And the owner says, well, this was given to the Lord, so it's become the property of the priests. 22.
And if a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation even unto the year of the Jubilee, and he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord.
The same way he says, if somebody brought the property, and now he wants to give it to somebody, but he says the time of Jubilee, that becomes that person who was belonged to that property, and then that property comes back to the priest, and it is holy, that becomes God's property. Verse 24.
In the year of the Jubilee, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him of whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimations shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 20 gerahs shall be the shekel.
Time of Jubilee. The property returns to the person who is belonged to. Then that person has to evaluate how many years of Jubilee. Jubilee is 50 years time. But if it is before Jubilee or after Jubilee, and according to that, the priest will be valued, and then that much you have to pay. And the year of Jubilee, sometimes property belong to the priests. Okay, now verse 26.
Only the firstling of the beasts, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's.
Now here is another rule. He says the first fruit, if your child, animal, or anything, the first fruit is belong to God. That means you cannot say, this is the first fruit I'm giving to God and I change my mind. Can I redeem it? He said, no, you cannot redeem it. First fruit, first son, first animal, first crop, first fruit, everything is belong to God, that you have to give it to the Lord and you cannot redeem it. So everybody's redeeming and 20% they give and they redeem it. He says, no, this is belong to God. You cannot redeem it, what is belong to God. Making promises two different things, and whatever is belong to God, you cannot purchase that back. And so that was the law. Verse 27.
And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation.
Now, this is the pig or unclean animal. First fruit is belong to God. But God says, even though his first fruit belong to me, but we cannot sacrifice this pig. So what you have to do, you have to redeem this. And that person has to pay 20% more to the Lord, and then he can take the pig and sell it to anybody. Even though it belongs to God, you cannot sacrifice that pig. Verse 28.
Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord.
Whatever you dedicated to the Lord, you cannot redeem anything. Once you dedicate it to the Lord, he says, first fruit, first animal, first everything is belong to God. You cannot redeem that any time. Verse 29.
None devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death.
Now, this verse is a little bit difficult to understand, but it says any person did something wrong, maybe murder, maybe something very horrible thing he did, and God says this man has to be killed. You cannot say, well, he's going to go to prison anyhow, so Lord, I'm going to give him as your servant, you take care of him. God says, no, that person should put to death. I do not want criminal, I do not want unholy thing to sacrifice to God. And that's the way the rule was. Verse 30.
And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof.
Now here is saying all your tithe belong to God. For example, you got a paycheck, you got $100, $10 belong to God. But sometimes the person says, you know what, this month I cannot give this my tithe. Then God said, okay, what you do, your tithe is $10, you don't want to give now, you pay 20% more. And next time you bring your tithe, add 20% and then give it to me. That's the way law was. You cannot steal God's money. God wants interest on it. Verse 32.
And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord.
Now here is saying about the animal. Now those people, they used to count the animal. For example, two people have to stand with a rod and the animal has to come in. If it's a goat, they say, okay, you go other way. And they have to count 1, 2, 3, 4, and the 10th animal comes, they stop it. 10th is belong to God. And that's the way they counting. So he said, when everything goes under the rod, 10% is belong to God. Verse 33.
He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed.
You counting 1, 2, 3, 4, and 10th one, you found out very healthy animal. Say, wow, I should have kept that healthy number one. Now he's in 10th. I have to give it to the Lord. So to do, I'm going to change it and give the weak one. God says, you cannot fool me. If you want to do that, then the healthy one and the weak one, both is belong to me. And that's the way you have to give it to the Lord. And that's the way the rule was. Verse 34.
These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai.
These all the commandments God gave it to Moses. That's why he was there 40 days and 40 nights. It took a long time. You had to see so many 10 commandments, and these are different kinds of commandments. We read it in the book of Leviticus from the chapter 1 to this is chapter 27. All these chapters, all these rules and regulations, how the people should be clean and how the people should be kept. If you have a leprosy, what you should do. If you have this kind of disease or that kind of disease. All kinds of rules and regulations. So the Israeli people were like a bound. Everything, they have to do it right. If they do anything wrong, they should be killed. Like a Sabbath. If somebody disobeys Sabbath, that person should be put to death. If somebody says something bad to mother or father, that person should be put to death. All kinds of rules were there. And so the people were a little bit scared to do anything wrong. People had so much problem obeying the law. then somebody would say, why did God give the law to Moses? St. John chapter 1 verse 17, he says, God gave law to Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wanted to redeem the mankind. The mankind was under the curse, under the bondage. Why God gave it to those people like this? I told you in the beginning, from Genesis, God created mankind. 6 days, God created everything. Seventh day, God rested. And that was the Sabbath. But God never told Adam or his children, you have to obey Sabbath. He never says to Seth's children to obey Sabbath. He never said to Enoch, your children supposed to obey the Sabbath. He did not tell Noah and his children to obey Sabbath. He did not tell Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to obey the Sabbath. And all his children, they were in the bondage in Egypt 400 years, and they did not observe the Sabbath. But when they came out of Egypt, that's the time God told Moses, now I'm going to give you a commandment. Now you're going to make a tabernacle. Now you're going to make sacrifices. Now you're going to have all these rules and regulations. And the people were bound with these things. But we learn already, when the set time, God sent his son to redeem the mankind. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, please read. Here it says, Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Now here it says, Jesus Christ redeemed us. He did not say redeem us from the law, but he says he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law was a curse. So the people were under the curse, under the bondage. They were looking for redeemer. Jesus Christ came and redeemed us from all the curse of the law. Now we are free. Jesus Christ says in St. John chapter 8, verse 32 and 36, he says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. That means if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your problems will be over. If you have a habit, drinking habit, smoking habit, gambling habit, some kind of addiction you have, you cannot give up anything with your own, with your willpower. You can give it for a day or so, and then you will go back to it. But if you ask God's help, then Jesus Christ comes in, he kicks the devil out, and the devil takes all his smoking, drinking, all kinds of evil habits, and Jesus sets you free. That's why he says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We are not under the bondage. But the people today, they don't want to be free. They think this is good for me. But eventually you'll find out it is not good for you. When the person smokes first time, he never smoked. You know what happens? First time he smokes, he will be coughing. He will be feeling uncomfortable. But he ignores it and then keep on doing it as coughing stops. So he said, hey, now I'm okay. But he kept on smoking like 30 years or so. And then your lungs get weaker. And then you get more problems. And then you cannot give up. Because now you are bound. But here the word of God says, Jesus Christ came to set you free. You have to allow Jesus Christ, please set me free. And he will set you free. Once you're free, you feel good in your spirit, in your body, and then you will be able to help somebody. If somebody is struggling, you say, hey, You tried and tried and tried, nothing happens. I received Jesus Christ, He helped me. He can help you too. And this is the way we can help somebody. I'll give a couple of verses. Read the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Now here he's saying, don't you know you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? That means he said, everyone should know that God created us, He breathed on us, we are belong to God, this body is belong to God. He said, don't you know that? So if you know this body is not yours, it belongs to God, then what he says, read 17.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Now he says, if any man defile, defile means what? Destroy, make it dirty, make it bad. Then God himself will destroy that person. Because he says the temple of God is holy. And so you should be holy because our God is holy God. And holy God wants to live in your temple. He cannot live in a dirty temple. He wants the clean temple. And some people sometimes say, okay, you know, I'm a child of God. God loves me. And doesn't matter, I smoke or drink, He loves me so much. This is the way false teaching comes. People say, oh, God loves me. And whatever I do, God approves. It's not like that. God doesn't approve sin. God will not say, you can live in adultery, that's okay. You do anything, I love you. That's not the way God does. God loves us, but He hates the sin. God wants sin out of our life. So once you say, Lord, I'm your child, come into my life, come into my heart, be my God, be my Savior, and He will come and He will cleanse you inside out. Then you feel like you are a child of God. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20.
What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Now here again says, don't you know you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So he says, you're not your own. You belong to me.
For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Now he says, you're not your own because you are bought by the price. What is the price? Jesus Christ gave his blood and he redeemed you. You belong to Jesus. If you say, I'm a Christian, how you became a Christian? Because you invited Jesus Christ. You believe that He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood for you. And He died for you. He rose again. He is living God. If you believe that, then how can you destroy your body? He paid the price for you. He gave His blood for you. He says, you are not redeemed by the silver and gold. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18.
For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
Now, read the following verse.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
See, he says, you are not redeemed. We just read, you want to redeem, give 20% and redeem. But here it says you are not redeemed by the money, you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. Now you are not belong to devil because Jesus Christ purchased us. Now we belong to Jesus Christ. So he says your body, your soul, your spirit, is belong to God. Devil has no authority. God has set us free. We should not be having any kind of bondage. Go to the Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Here it says, if you are free, do not entangle again the yoke of bondage.
Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and to be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
See, if God has set you free, don't go again under the yoke of bondage. Devil wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. The word of God says in St. John chapter 10, verse 10, the enemy is the devil. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So God wants us to live in abundance. Our value in the sight of God is not like a 50 shekel or 3 shekel or $5 or $10. Our life in the sight of God is more than a whole world. You keep a whole world here and you here, your value is more than a whole world. Because the money is nothing. Our life is more precious than money. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Our body is the temple of the living God. Please come and stay in this body, in this temple, and let us shine for the glory of God. People are dying without God and without Christ. Let's go and tell somebody. If you are struggling, invite Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He will supply all of your needs. Lord Jesus, be with us. Sanctify us, use us for your glory. We commit our bodies, our souls, our spirits into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.